Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Taking up serpents, Mark 16, 17 to 18. Is one of the signs that will follow the gospel of the kingdom. When you preach the gospel of the kingdom, one of the signs is that you are going to take up serpents. You are going to take up serpents. Does it mean that Jesus wants believers to go serpent hunting? Are we to go looking for snakes to pick them up and all that? Really, that is not it. The serpent is a symbol of deceit and trickery. Deceit and trickery, all right? The Bible says that the serpent was the most cunning animal that God had made. So the serpent is a symbol of deceit, symbol of trickery, all right? Being cunning and all that. Now, the highest form of deceit is religion. The reason why religion is the highest form of deceit is that religion has truth and falsehood at the same time. You see, if something is false, you can see that it's false. But if something is false but has truth by it, it's very deceptive. The highest form of deception is religion. Religion has to do with good and evil, truth and untruth. For example, the devil in Eden spoke in a religious way when he said to our first parents that you will not die when you eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you will be like God. Okay? Now, he spoke truth, for example, because when he said they will be like God, was that truthful? Yes, somehow it's true. But when he said that they will not die, was that truthful? No, it wasn't true. So that is how religion is like. Religion is very, very deceptive. Now, the people or the spirits that champions religious understanding is what we call religious spirits. These religious spirits are spirits that like the word of God. They like to quote the Bible, but in quoting the Bible or interpreting the Bible, they misinterpret it, you know. They take what God has said and then they twist it small, kind of, so that you have truth and falsehood mixed up at the same time. So, religious spirits are actually these spirits that perpetrate religion. They are behind religion. Every religion has got a religious spirit that kind of pushes it. During the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees were religious sects who pushed, as it were, religion during the time of Jesus. So Jesus often clashed with them. He often clashed with them, you see. But they are not there now as we speak. There are no Pharisees, Sadducees, and all that. You know, when I went to the Holy Land, I specifically asked, where are the Pharisees? Because you could see the ultra-Orthodox Jews, you know, those who have the beard and all that. They wear the kippah on their head. Some of them, they wear hats, you know, and they pray like that. So where are the Pharisees? Yeah, no, they are not there anymore. But the spirit that kind of pushed the Pharisaic understanding and teachings are alive today. They are alive everywhere. They are alive. Every believer is fighting religious spirits in a certain sense, in a certain way. Because it's a spirit that tries to rival the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's a spirit that tries to rival the Holy Spirit of God. You know? So, let us talk about these religious spirits, because they are actually the serpents that Jesus said we should pick them up, not kill them, but pick them up. In the Greek, the word is arrow. You shall lift up serpents or take up serpent, arrow, because serpents likes to hide. They like to go under stones and all that. But when Jesus said we shall pick up serpents, he means that we should expose serpent. In other words, expose deceit, expose deception, expose religion. Hallelujah. So in preaching the gospel of the kingdom, what you do is that as you preach it, you are in fact automatically exposing religion. Automatically. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to intentionally say that I am going serpent hunting. I'm going to look for deceit and then expose it. No. Just focus on the truth. Focus on the gospel of the kingdom. Focus on the kingdom word that Jesus Christ is, that Jesus Christ taught. When he said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, 6 times in his very first sermon, he was bringing the gospel of the kingdom down to us. And he said, go and teach all that I have commanded you in the Great Commission. All right. So we are supposed to do what? Expose serpents or deceit or religion. Religious spirits. So we looked at some 2 ways that religious spirits operate. Actually, I have 7 ways they operate over here. We looked at 2. Now we want to look at the others as time will give us the chance to do. So the first thing, or if you are making your notes from last week, the 3rd way that religious spirits or snakes function is like living in bread. Living in bread. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 12 verse 1 and 2. We want to take up some deceit. We want to expose serpents and lift them up so that everybody will see this one is a serpent. No, it goes against the gospel of the kingdom. When you preach the gospel of the kingdom, serpents are automatically exposed and taken up. Luke chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the living of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of the living of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In Jesus' teaching, he referred to living as 2 things. First of all, as a doctrine, and secondly, as hypocrisy. In the scripture, he says that he makes it very clear that be careful about the living of the Pharisees, and he defines it, which is hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is just talking about deceit. In fact, if you read the scripture in the Greek, you will see that in place of hypocrisy, you can put deceit over there. That is another word that is used over there. Okay, so the living of the Pharisees, as far as Jesus is concerned, is deceit. It is acting under a feigned part, acting pretending. That is hypocrisy. That is deceit. You pretend to deceive. So Jesus says that the living of the Pharisees is what? Deceit. That is why, look at verse number 2. That is why he said, for there is nothing covered which will not be revealed, nor hidden which will not be known. In other words, deceit is a snake. Religion is a snake. It's under. And Jesus says that be careful about religion, you know, because everything which is hidden, the snakes which are hiding, they will be revealed. They will be lifted up for everybody to see that this one is a snake. Now, living is a substance that inflates. Living is a substance that inflates. It makes bread looks big, bigger than its real size. You know, the original size of the bread is there, but you put in living and the living is able to swell the bread out of proportion. Sometimes more than two times the original size of the bread. So these religious spirits, what they do, these snakes, what they do is that they are inflating spirits who causes rapid changes and development in spiritual ventures. These snakes, the way they operate now is that they operate as inflating spirits that causes rapid changes and development in a spiritual venture. If you take a spiritual venture to be bread, the original bread, you put this, when these religious spirits or snakes go under, they go and hide inside, they make the thing to be living. They make the thing to change form and become bloated with air, bloated with pride, actually. That is why people who are influenced by religious spirits are very proud people. That's how it operates. They are very proud. They behave as if they know every spiritual thing. They are not teachable people, because as soon as you start to teach, they believe they know, and they know better than what you can teach. Their spirits are not open up to receive any teaching. Do you know what is happening? There is a living which is inside, which is bloating them up, filling them with pride. That's why the Pharisees were very proud people. Very proud. They walk with their heads up, you know, not as if you shouldn't walk with your head up. But this was because of pride. You know, so proud people, they look down upon everybody, they point fingers at them and say, they are sinners. We are the people who have given ourselves to the Lord. We are the people who are the holy ones. We have dedicated ourselves. We fast twice a week. Do you remember Jesus' parable in is it Luke chapter 18? The Pharisee was full of pride. Look, he said, God, me, I fast twice a week. I give alms. I make prayers. I do this. I do that. Wonderful. That is the spirit of a Pharisee. He says, be careful about the living. There is something about them that I, Jesus, I liken it to living. The thing is that their living is deceit. There is a deceptive spirit. There is a snake which is under what they are doing, and it leavens them. It fills them with pride, you know. So that if you look at that spiritual venture, or you look at that person, because of the work of religious spirits in that venture, spiritual venture, you know, or in that person, the person becomes so big before men, but before God, they are not that big. When I say that, you understand, you know. Sometimes before humans, some people may look like powerful men of God. I mean, you salute them. You can lie down and somersault in front of them, you know, just to let them pass. Because the S that they put on, you know, they are so full of themselves, like the Pharisees, full of themselves, full of pride, full of what they can do. I fast, I do this, I did that, and all that. But before God, when he looks at them, they are like granite, small like granite. But you see, these inflating spirits make them big before God. They make them develop. You know, sometimes you have ministries, you have spiritual ventures that develop so fast, so fast. You know, I'm not saying that it's all of them that religious spirits are inflating. I'm not saying that. God can do wonderful things, you know, but the devil also mimics. So with religious spirit, he makes them grow very big, very fast, very powerful before men, you know. But if you get close, you see that they don't have adubani, they don't have substance, they don't have meat. You understand? Meat. They don't have stuff that really is heavy, that makes them that makes them grounded, you know. So I want us to look at the example of Jesus. You see, in the life of Jesus, these religious spirits attacked the Lord Jesus. They wanted to let Jesus take their help. But Jesus didn't want his ministry to be bloated, his life to be bloated by religious spirits. Two times they tried in his temptation. In fact, the temptations of Jesus, as you know, he was tempted. Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. He was tempted as a prophet. He was tempted as a priest. He was tempted as a king. As a prophet, when the devil said that if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. As a priest, when he took him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the pinnacle, and said there were priests all over the place, and said that he should just drop down in a slow motion manner, and then he quoted the Bible, he shall give his angels charge. They said, there's religious spirit in display. He loved the Bible, quoted the Bible, he will give his angels charge over you, and all that. As a king, Jesus was taken to see the kingdoms of this world and the glory and the wealth and the power of them. And they say that if you bow, I would give all these things to you. Jesus was a prophet, priest, and king. And in tempting the Lord Jesus, just at the beginning of his ministry, these religious spirits wanted to come in and bloat Jesus. Do you know how bloated he would have been if he had descended in a slow motion down with all the priests around? coming from the skies like that and then landing safely, everybody will believe he is the Messiah from heaven. What is wrong with that? After all, he said you came from heaven. So why is it that you don't show them that you are coming from heaven? You know, it's as if they are interested in the ministry. They want to help you to gain fame before the priests. They want to help you to gain fame in Jerusalem. You see the thing? But Jesus saw through that and saw that, no, this one, this miracle, you know, commanding stones to become bread and things like that. No. It is not a temptation to sin alone. It is a temptation to accept the work and the help of religious spirits. And he wouldn't stand for that. So sometimes in the temple, these devils, when they didn't succeed with his temptation, they will come to him and they will say, we know you. You are the Son of God. You know, you are the Son of the living God and all that. And Jesus will say, shut up. What is wrong, Jesus? What is wrong with these people, these spirits saying that you are the Son of God? Are you not the Son of God? Are you not coming from heaven and all that? All that they were saying, was it not true? It was true. The Bible says that Jesus Christ shut them up because they knew him. They knew him, but he didn't want them to speak it. Do you know why? Because if he allows them to inject their words into his ministry as if they are propping him, as if they are making him popular and things like that, he is accepting these religious spirits and their help into his earthly ministry. And Jesus Christ will not accept it. I told you that they come with some truth that he'll give his angels charge over you. They'll take care of you. The devil said, I mean, implied that Jesus was the Son of God. He should prove it. You understand that? But Jesus Christ saw that, no, he's twisting the word of God. He said, I'm the beloved Son of God. He's twisting the thing. He shall give his angels charge over you and they will hold you in their arms. And you see, he's misapplying and twisting things. And now they come and say, we know you, the Holy One of God. You are the Christ. Before Peter said, you are the Christ, demons had confessed that Jesus was the Christ.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Easy. So that is what happened. Religious spirits, they want to have a share. They behave as if they like your popularity. You should be popular. You should change very fast. Do you understand that when I say that? Yeah, you should change very fast. Imagine that Jesus turned stones into bread, and then he is supposed to eat that. Do you know what is going to happen? Maybe he will go and give some of the bread. Look at the, I'm want to show you people, I'm the Son of God. Even when I was in the wilderness, I ate bread. I had 10 stones into bread and I ate. This is a sample and things like that. You know, these things are going to, it's as if Jesus' ministry will be helped. But really, really, they are injecting their venom into it. Pastor, what about a small one? It doesn't spoil anything. It spoils a lot of. The Bible says in two places or so, are you not aware that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Are you not aware? A little deceit in your life, in your ministry, it can affect everything. And unbeknown to you, you have been too affected. Everything is affected. All the way you see things, everything. You see Bible, you see church, you see people. Everything has been, they have put some dark ink into it. Oh, and the whole thing is being different to you. But it is so much leavened. Now you see it as normal. It's not normal. Apostle Paul also had a certain pressure. You know, if you read Acts chapter 16 and then verse 16 to 18, you remember that what landed him in the Philippi jail. You know the story. Let me tell you the story. There was this young girl who had the spirit of divination. In the Greek, the word translated divination is the word python or snake. He had the spirit of a snake, you know, very deceptive. And this girl was following Apostle Paul and say that these are men of God. They show you the way of salvation. The Bible says that she did that. This girl, she had the spirit of divination. Ladies and gentlemen, divination, it comes from the word divine. In the Greek, another translation is inspiration. So she speaks in a very inspired way, like a soothsayer. In fact, all that she says, it suits you. It makes you feel fresh, so to speak. You know, the thing is very soothing, as if it inspired, you know, because it's a spirit of divination that is very close to our divine. It's almost like heavenly. But the Greek word is a python, the spirit of it. No wonder she was saying like these religious spirits in the temple or synagogue did to Jesus. You are a man of God. You show us the way of salvation. She did it for many days, and the Bible says that Paul was annoyed. Or if you like, Paul was grieved. And so he cast the spirit out. The question is that why should Paul be grieved? When they said you were a man of God, was it not true? Are you a man of Satan? When the devil or this spirit of divination, soothing spirit, a python, deceptive spirit, when he said, they show us the way of salvation, was that not true? It was true. So why was Paul grieved? Because Paul knew that these people, there is a work God wants me to do, a ministry in Philippi, and they want to tempt me to take their help. But Paul will not take any introduction from any religious spirit. I told you, religious spirits, they like spiritual and religious things. In fact, they like church more than discos. They love to be among believers. Because that's what they are. They are religious in nature. That is why you have to be careful. You and I have to be careful. Because now, that is what religious spirits do. That is how they operate. They make you have so much pride. When you take it in, yeah, I'm a man of God. I show the way of salvation. Isn't that true? And all that. But that testimony is introducing pride into your life. It's a venom. It's a poisonous. They are injecting it into your life. They are injecting it into your ministry or whatever thing that you are doing. And the end of the day, it inflates you with pride that you cannot tolerate anything. Hallelujah. So that is how religious spirits, these snakes, they function like living in bread. Make ministries look big suddenly. The devil is bad. He's bad. Because then you are full of pride that you are some good to God. You are like granite. Because God's value system is different from man's value system, you know. Let's look at the next thing. So beware. Be careful about pride, you know. Be careful about pride. Sometimes be careful about too fast growth. I'm not saying that fast growth doesn't come from God. Some come from God. But you have to be careful and look at what is happening to you. Okay? So that you really have spiritual weight before God and all that. Number two, or number four, you can choose a number. It's free. Religious spirits get people to focus on what is wrong with them and others instead of what is right with them and others. That is the way these serpents, they operate now. Jesus says, lift up the serpents, expose the snakes, because they are deceptive, they are deceiving the people of God. The gospel of the kingdom flashes them out. So when you preach the gospel of the kingdom, these signs will follow you. You see, it's true. It's the gospel of the kingdom. You see the snakes? It's exposing the snakes, exposing religion, so that we can all see that, it's bad. We won't follow it. What these snakes do now is that they get people to focus on what is wrong with them and others instead of what is right with them and others. That is how the Pharisees were. They were people who didn't see good things. They always saw problems with people. You know, the primary characteristics of Pharisees was focusing on what was wrong with others whilst being blind to their own faults. Anytime you are always pointing fingers, you are always criticizing, it's deceptive. Sometimes you think that, oh, you have to stand for the truth, you know. I mean, you have to defend the system and all that. It is good to do that, but be careful that it isn't a religious spirit that is whipping up that ministry. Some people make it their ministry to expose bad things, you know. Anytime they are preaching or something, they are exposing people saying, you are a sinner, you don't live well, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead, you are dead. After we have heard the preaching, we feel so heavy, you know. But the Holy Spirit doesn't operate like that. He doesn't focus on our wrongs. He doesn't focus on our weaknesses. He focuses on our strength. When he is talking, he always tells you, you are more than a conqueror. You are righteous. Even when you are sinning, Holy Spirit will tell you, you are righteous. You are righteous. Hallelujah. But sometimes we feel like, look, let's be realistic. These people, they are, we have to blast all of them. That is the religious way of correcting a wrong behavior. The kingdom way, as Jesus Christ always did. Look at the way he treated his churches, the seven churches. He always tell them what good thing there is with them. That is his first impulse. That is why I say that the focus is on what? The strength of people. The focus is on the good in people. What is wonderful about them. And whatever thing that is wrong about them is not the focus. It comes maybe last minute, kind of. I mean, it's backstage. So anytime you look at God's children, you can't even rejoice with them because you feel that they are all sinning. When you come to church, ladies and gentlemen, see everybody. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus has cleansed people. Oh, you may see them and retain their sins. It's different. The way God sees them is different. He sees them like Christ. Oh, it's unfortunate that they don't see themselves as Jesus is. So are they right now sitting and listening to me. It's unfortunate that they don't see themselves like that. But that's the way God sees them. So sometimes the way God speaks to us, you see that. Say, ah, God, are you trying to tell me that me, I am your righteousness? Are you trying to tell me that me, I am anointed? Are you trying to tell me that I can do it? Are you trying to tell me that you have confidence in me? Perfect. Perfect. That is what our people need. That is the kingdom way of bringing about change. It's not by criticizing like the world. Criticize everybody in the church. Criticize everybody. Worship leader, pray pastor. I mean, everybody, your fellow. Oh, you see, that's how religious spirits are. They try to point out things, people's faults. That's how the devil is. The devil is the one who accuses you of sin. He is the one who comes to say that you would die because you are a sinner. You say you are a Christian. You are a liar. You've been lying. And look, even you follow women. You lust in your heart. You have committed adultery already. Listen, it's as if he lies righteousness. It's as if he wants you to be. The devil is the one who you read the Bible every day. Maybe you read a verse every day. He will tell you that you are not trying at all. Because whatever you do, he will see the bad side of it. You read it every day, one verse. He say, look, you say you're a Christian. You only read one verse. Some people read one chapter. You go and read one chapter, the same accuser of the brethren, he is always accusing. Go and read one chapter, he says, oh, look at you, man of God. You read one chapter a day. Read one book. And then you go and read one book and you see that your whole life is reading Bible. Is that how God wants us to live? When was God coming to Adam in the first kingdom era? Was he engaging Adam all the time? No, so why should you engage your life all the time as if every time you should be in the spirit? Hey, how can you perform? You can't perform. Hey, you see? So that is how the devil operates. He always critiques. And sometimes we take that thing to church. We think that to reform people is to bash them. It's a religious way of reforming. That one, it yields very quick results. They will say, hey, today I was bashed. The pastor rebuked me, or my father or my boss rebuked me, and all that. That I am always coming late, I'm this, I'm that. And they will reform quickly. But believe me, that reformation has not got any foundation, because because it was done the way the world does, the world will topple it. The system will topple it. But if we do it God's way, the world system cannot topple it. It's permanent. It's there. That's the way God reforms people. It may be slow, but that reformation, when it comes to the person, because you kept telling the person, you can pass it. Don't cheat in the exam. The others may have cheated. You did the right thing. Continue doing the right thing. God will bless you in the end. It's not, it's life. You understand that? So God, he doesn't bash children. He said, I have sworn, just as I swore during the time of Noah, I have sworn I won't rebuke you in anger. I won't be angry with you again. It's true. He's never angry with us. Never, never. It's too late. He can't be angry with us because all of his anger, Jesus exhausted it on the cross. He has unleashed into our lives his everlasting loving kindness forever. Hallelujah. But religious spirit, they won't tell you all the good things in you in Christ Jesus. They will tell you your weaknesses as a believer. You see, a prayer meeting, you can come, and then everything is about the weaknesses of Abba.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.